putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
And it would appear that actually, after again many months where people could actually do either or, that tomorrow, actually, you'll be joining us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for at least 45 minutes, Emma, is that right?
Yes, a short while before.
Perfectly formed.
As long as I wake up in time.
obviously, waking up, Jessica, critical in every sense of the word,
very,
really.
Very critical.
When we parted last week, 169 hours ago now, there you were saying, right, see the... I said, will you come in on the show if you want? I might be there. No, sir, I thought. Mary was psyching herself up for the 11 o'clock sort of appearance there.
Very bad.
These things happen, you know, that's the important thing. But just don't let them happen
to
you.
No, it won't happen again.
Well, it's important. This is Harry Chapin. Another song man from beyond the grave, but with a wonderful tune, If You Want to Feel, on Siren 107.3 FM.
Your gun's shy. You know your skin's as cold as ice. Your eyes are double filled with bit.
Mellow way to actually welcome in October. 3 months from now, 2015. Oh well, never mind. Life just scoots by in that sort of zone.
It does.
Definitely.
Flies past.
It does indeed. Moving on, as I say, we will be speaking to Michelle Monroe with another selection from the Matt Monroe musical back catalogue. Peter Franklin will be joining us from New York, as mentioned, and the Duchess will be live, hopefully, talking about Space Elevator. Now, Emma, I should say. Doctor Who, you're kind of...
I am a little bit of a geek.
A little
bit. I don't like to say I'm an expert
because
I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched all of the classic episodes.
Well, no, exactly.
So I'm not a pro. I have watched the first ever episode.
An Unearthly Child.
If
only to see William Hartnell relate to Carol Ann Ford when she grooves to the music of the Beatles.
I found it a very, very
strange,
very interesting.
Yeah.
But
who would have thought it? You know, you're a pair of concerned teachers, and you follow a child back to her base. You find it's a junkyard, and you step into a police box. What's not to appreciate about that?
Yes,
exactly. And inevitably, you're going to work back to prehistoric times, and those cavemen. Astounding, really.
Yes.
Who'd have thought the series would still last? Anyway, that and other things will probably be ruminated on. If you want to give yourself a little treat and do some Chilpack Hollywood research, you can also go to chilpackhollywood.com. Hopefully it'll be fitted and sorted out now. And the latest live broadcast that they put together in front of a studio audience as well, with Phil Leonis and Dean Hagland, is also available for download too. But you're listening to sirenonline.co.uk, maybe, or maybe you're listening to 107.3 Siren FM, or even Siren FM 107.3, which shows you've got excellent taste.
Album that featured swinging arrangements by Sid Feller and Billy May of recent hits by the likes of Petula Clark, Engelbert Humperdinck, Dusty Springfield, Andy Williams and Al Martino, along with a brand new title track written by Jack Passanata and Arthur Hamilton. Passanata was Tennessee Ernie Ford's music director, and he arranged and conducted nearly 24 albums with him, as well as all of his hits, including his biggest 16 Tons. He also wrote and performed material for his own album releases. Hamilton was a prolific songwriter in his own right, whose biggest claim to fame was Cry Me a River, originally written for Ella Fitzgerald to sing in the movie Pete Kelly's Blues, but it ended up on the cutting room floor, only to be revived by Julie London a few years later. My dad recorded the whole of the album in just 3 sessions at Capitol Studios Hollywood in May 1967. The arranger for this particular track was Sid Feller, and it's called These Years.
These years are the good years. They'll be good years to remember. It's our time in the spotlight. Time to taste life, time to live our dreams. Yes, these years are the good years. And when someday they're behind us, how to remember each of these years we're spending now. When the good years are behind us, each of these years we're spending now. Yes, the good years we're spending.
We didn't feel Michelle really needed an introduction this week, so she just bounced straight in there, and quite rightly so too. Thanks to Michelle Monroe, another top selection there from her father's wonderful back catalogue. But the crucial thing, of course, is what did our studio team, dynamic duo, make of These Years and Matt Monroe? Let's go to Jessica first. What did you make of the...
I thought he has a fantastic voice. Mm-hmm. I could listen to that all day. It's very smooth.
She will be back live with us in 2 weeks' time, of course.
Oh, so great.
It's great stuff to be there. And Emma?
I thought it was very relaxing, actually. Mm. It's very soothing kind of music. It's very nice.
Well, after a day when you sort of might have been fraught with all sorts of things, changes, challenges, etc., linkage day, celebrations, do you go to the cathedral, do you not go to the cathedral? I know it's important. Just take time out to sort of unwind, etc. You could almost get a yellow mobile conveyance lounge, or indeed, New York Taxi. So one of the rules of keeping broadcasting fun and joyous is always have a super sub. You can actually, in times of distress and problematic times, etc., always know that you can rely upon to actually be an impact substitution.
Journalist, TV producer, novelist and 21st century Newcastle man, it's Ian Lennox.
That would be you then, Ian, wouldn't it?
It would.
There we are. Yeah, well, we figured, yeah, we've got the space elevator and I Will Find You, Gallifrey Dreams. But let's go to Ian, because we've got two fabulous souls in the studio, Ian, both of whom are actually journalism undergraduates. One's from Level 2 and the other one's from Level 1. And actually, they might be back to speak to you again tomorrow morning. But at present, I thought, what better way than to actually get a former journalist extraordinaire and indeed TV producer and soul who's actually... managed to move and shift from the delights of hard journalism, hard news, to documentary making, to now top writing. Indeed, currently, your book, Gentlemen and Players, is being caressed. I say that quite literally. Caressed. Caressed in a sort of wonderful, respectful way by Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. So there we are. It's very good. Anyway, moving on from that, Emma, would you like to sort of have a few words with Ian Lennox about life, the universe, and possibly the time you got stuck in the revolving doors at the Daily Mail? I throw that because it's something which Ian could probably actually put on his Facebook routine.
At the Daily Mail?
Daily Mail.
Well, actually, I did a week with the Mail on Sunday.
And 6 years at Daily Mail.
Yeah, you see?
In Manchester, but not you're in London, but you've been in London, I presume.
Yeah, I was in the London one. And
well, there's no Manchester one now, I don't think. Is that still Carmelite House?
No, it was... Oh, I can't remember the name of the...
Yeah, it was a little move since
it was the one with the revolving doors, Ian. It was the one with the revolving doors.
I was very nervous, and I'd been given my... security card, and as every work experience person is, they were asked to go and do a coffee run, so I was juggling coffees and cookies and all sorts that they wanted, and I got stuck in the revolving door. Bit of drama.
How did you get stuck in a revolving door? Did you get jammed in?
I don't really know. I think I had there were two separate revolving doors depending on what your pass was. And it was my first day, and I obviously got the wrong one. But the security guy was very nice and had a giggle with me, so it was all right.
There's a friend of mine and Alex's called Arthur McKenzie, and he was a top frontline policeman in the 60s. And he was about, I think, he was 19 stones fit. He threw this for Great Britain. And he had occasion to arrest a 37-stone wrestler who was knocking off karma as he was drunk, and they dragged him down to the police station in the centre of Newcastle, which had a revolving door. And Arthur had him in a lock around his neck. So 37 stones and 19 stones came through this revolving door.
Considerable amount of weight there.
There was some poor policeman was carrying a tray of teas, and so this 56 stones hit him and flatten them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And Arthur couldn't let go of the guys because he would have got killed, I think. And eventually the wrestler sort of slammed his hand on the charge room floor to signal that he gave in. And Arthur said he was so tired he couldn't send the charge sheet.
And that is what you call a hard news story.
Okay. Yes.
That's a heavyweight.
Revolving doors are a source of stories, you see.
Yeah.
Chase those things through. You know, I can't believe mentioning no names here, but there was a suggestion that covering the Lincolnshire Cathedral was regarded as too soft a news story to do today, Emma. Is that true? Too soft a news story?
Yeah, well, see, I love Lincolnshire news stories, but... No, we are taught to go hard news.
Go hard news, Ian. Yeah, I mean, how does that resonate with yourself? Do you go hard news?
Myself?
Yes.
I ended up doing documentaries and features, which of course isn't hard news. Features are basically stories about what, how, why, when, and where of hard news, I suppose. But when I was a kid, I used to do a lot of hard news.
Yeah, exactly.
We used to do a lot of fatalities as well, too many anyway. And I always remember I had a very bad cold. And there was one time I had to go and visit this family who had lost a relative. I can't remember who it was or anything. And I knocked on the door. And I was so, this news editor sends his condolences. And this woman just invited me in, and we stood in this darkened room. And everybody was standing around the wall, rather. And I suddenly became aware that they were all sniffing away, and I thought I was a relative because I had a cold and I was sniffing. I'd got in by false pretences.
Oh,
you see, I mean, there are all sorts of areas we can go to that, but thankfully we won't. That's the important thing. Yeah, it's good for that. Jessica, thoughts or questions from yourself? I mean, Jessica, from New Zealand, Ian. From New Zealand.
Oh,
right.
From New Zealand.
Oh, living in the Isle of Man. It's fantastic, you know, and in Lincoln, of course.
Yes, of course.
So your questions for Ian about life, the universe, or indeed Gentlemen and Players, which, of course, you were caressing earlier.
It's caressing.
Just wondering, what's the most interesting story you've ever reported on or
questioned? I had 40 years of it, so there's a lot of them. Shall we think the most interesting story I did eventually was it's set in the Northeast, actually, so it may not resonate with you, but there was a very famous industrialist called Sir John Hall, who formed the Magpie Group to take over Newcastle United, and I was introduced to him, and he allowed me to film all the secret meetings he held with a group of millionaires who at that time were trying to take over Newcastle United, and I think that really was the most interesting thing I did for I think it ranks very highly anyway, because what used to happen was they were very guarded when they allowed us to film, but of course they forgot the camera was there, and they just talked quite freely after about 5 minutes, and we had the most alarming this takeover bid went on for over a year, and we had all this stuff that was really a very high commercial value, because they discussed all their plans and all the money they were going to put in, this, that and the other, and if the other side had got to hear of it, it would have been absolutely valuable to them, and we had to sit on the tapes for for months and months it was. And he never forgot that. I kept my word to him,
and the moral of the story is, be good to your sources and they'll be good to you.
I came good. I used to go, he had this huge hall down at Wynyard, a massive
it was quite literally Sir John Hall's hall.
And he had this massive lake at the back, and one night we were standing there and he said, I've got to get this blooming thing dredged, you know. He said I was standing out here last night and this heron arrived on the water, and it was only about three inches deep. He said, there's a whole lot of sludge in it. So I said, you missed a trick there. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, he could have told me you could walk on water. He started laughing.
And instead decided to appoint Kevin Keegan. But never mind.
Yes, it was.
It's magical in every sense of
it. And a bloke called Freddie Fletcher, and the three of them were absolutely incredible at running a football club.
Unfortunately, Freddie Fletcher wasn't exactly much beloved by the female contingent of Newcastle supporters. But never mind. That's a different story for another time. We could go into that, but we won't. Obviously, in deference to the whole thing. Pity about Stoke City, and I won't talk about it ever again, because it's important. Let's move on to what we refer to as Jessica's time to ask those last two questions. Because obviously we might be back with you again tomorrow morning, and we are beyond pleasure that you've actually joined us today to actually give a bit more content to a show which was threatening to actually be a celebration of answer phones and voicemail boxes, really, I think, to be fair. There's only so many voicemail boxes, or indeed New York Gabby Cabbies, who found something's come up you can actually cope with in one show. So, Jessica, what should we ask Ian now?
Have you enjoyed yourself on the show?
Yes, I have.
And will you be coming back again? Will you be
tomorrow
back
morning?
Tomorrow?
Exactly. Yeah, 8:35.
Yeah. Well, wake up
precisely.
Time, yes.
Well, Gentlemen and Players, an outstanding novel, well worth it. Ian, would you mind if I actually passed on a copy of Gentlemen and Players to?
Oh, not at all. No.
They can actually produce. Obviously, not to read it overnight.
This is
the point, of course. You know, we'd like you to obviously read it as opposed to take it away and then never see it.
Never see it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Read it.
I think my general intuitive feeling on this is I think we're okay here. It's all good. Ian Lennox, we'll see you tomorrow morning, 8:35, bright and early.
Okay,
not long ago, you'd find me feeling so low. I had some troubles that you just can't hide. No time to start, but living far from my heart, I thought I'd take another look inside. Lovers and friends.